This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, this is Robert Reese, and welcome to the CEO Show. This week, you'll learn with over 500,000 listeners the secrets of success from a top CEO. No sound bites, no gotchas. Instead, you'll hear direct insights, stories, and wisdom on personal leadership and on growing your business. Unfiltered and straight from the most successful CEOs. Hope you enjoy. Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum, and we're here today with Governor Tom Ridge. How are you, Tom?
Robert, nice to join you. Thank you.
And we are going to talk about cybersecurity, and Tom Ridge has a fascinating perspective on this with Ridge Global. But let's start off with your career. Being in Vietnam, what did you learn from that?
Well, it taught me a lot of lessons about leadership, about the importance of every man in your unit, about the importance of articulating the mission and what everybody has to do in order to accomplish the goal. It taught me a lot of things. And frankly, while I don't dwell on it, I draw from those experiences on a regular basis.
And you were actually, I believe, the first Vietnam combat to be in Congress. Is that correct?
I think you're close to correct. I think it was the first enlisted man. I think there were one or two officers, but I was privileged to serve my country as an infantry staff sergeant. Now, you talk to all the NCOs, we think we ran the Army anyhow. It's a proud group of individuals with whom I was associated, and one of the great blessings of my service there is I got elected the same year as my good friend, Senator John McCain, and immediately ties that bind. You become a great friend, a great warrior, and a great state as well.
What made you select law as a degree?
Well, it's an interesting question that you ask. I always thought that the area of law that I would ultimately practice would be with people. It's a service industry to a certain extent. While I went to law school, I never thought I'd spend so much time in the courtroom, both first as a U.S. as an attorney, not U.S. attorney, but assistant district attorney, but then as a defense attorney as well. So it's a service industry. It's a day-to-day engagement with people. It's something that I've enjoyed all my life, and I look back to those 10 years of practice, and I'm grateful for those experiences as well, which had some application down the road when I got in the world of government and politics.
When you talk about politics, you're 8-0. You're undefeated in running. How'd you do that?
I'm going to retire undefeated. That's the best thing to do. You know, it's interesting. The congressional district, which I won, was really a blue-collar district, probably 7,500 more Ds. I won by the magnificent sum of 729 votes. But I really worked hard. Those are the days you could do multiple town meetings. People didn't show up to congratulate you, but you could have an interesting conversation with them. I'm not sure you can do that anymore. Worked hard. And after that, I had almost a 10-year run, 1 year as unopposed. Most of the time, I've won pretty resounding victories. The challenge was running for a governor, much tougher race, and deservedly so. When you don't want to be the chief executive officer of the fifth largest state in the union, that'll be tough.
So what would you say your thinking was in running for governor? How did you position it, saying, okay, this is the big time? We're in the Super Bowl now. How do you do that?
Well, it's an interesting transformation. It's a wonderful question. I mean, I enjoyed the experience as being a federal legislator. I was in the minority for 12 years as a Republican. But at that time, the environment was different. I had friends on the other side of the aisle, primarily in the banking committee. Normally in the Veterans Committee, we got along just fine. But banking committee is that the ideas that generated support. I'm not sure that you had that kind of collegiality or comity today. But I never wanted to spend a lifetime as a legislator. And when the opportunity came to run for governor, I said, I really want to be the CEO. I'd like to be the man, be the individual who sets the agenda, who articulates that vision, who can rally the House and the Senate around, and I don't mind being accountable for the results. And so that was the attraction. And we wrapped everything around the notion that I wanted to make Pennsylvania a leader among states and a competitor among nations. because governing a state requires you to appreciate the competitive nature of the states around you. But you have to be able to compete. Your economy has to be competitive with the broader global community, since the economy these days is international. It's not local.
So our audience at the CEO Forum, as you know, is CEOs.
Right. Right.
What can CEOs learn from government?
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to the audience that we have so many CEOs who were great friends and supporters, and they say you got to run government like a business. And I would say to them, well, first of all, your board of directors isn't 253 people. Mine was the House and the Senate. And secondly, you don't go to your board of directors in order to get the revenue in order to run your business. So those are differences. But you can apply business principles every single day you govern. You can demand efficiency. You can require productivity. One of the first things we did was merge a couple of the existing cabinet levels into one because their missions overlapped and they were kind of interrelated. You can bring a certain amount of fiscal discipline. You can keep the control on taxes. One of the first things we did, we reduced taxes every year in seven, even during tough times. There we reduced at the bottom level. We substantially reduced the regulatory burden on our companies, and we changed the environmental framework in which you had to operate. So I had a vision. We discussed very specifically what we would do after I was elected, and that those goals that we articulated publicly during the election became the basis of the first 4 years of my governorship.
So what were you proudest of that you accomplished as governor?
Multiple reforms. We're proud to have been able to cut taxes and reduce regulatory burden. Very proud in many of the changes we made in the educational area, in terms of some of the standards we set. A lot of effort on charter schools, tax credits for contributions to private schools. Made a dramatic change in environmental oversight. Before, the predecessor said, if you got an environmental problem, we're going to penalize you. And we said, no. The agency was really a job-crushing, community-harassing, regulatory nightmare. I mean, they just, everything needed to be hit with a sledgehammer. And we said, look, got an environmental problem and you didn't cause it, let's just clean it up. I mean, one of the great, and if you did it willfully, we're going to throw the book at you. Where has that happened? Oftentimes it's inherited, sometimes it's accidental, and you treat those things differently. One of the other things I'm most proud of is we set the model for even federal legislation. We said we reused the previously tainted or environmentally challenged sites. We had environmental recycling, reusing the program. And depending on your future use of that site, your conditions for cleanup weren't based to a standard of William and Hannah Penn inherited, got the country. It was based on prospective use. So it'd be one thing, your cleanup requirements would be one thing. It was going to be a daycare center or playground. But if it was another manufacturing base on an old manufacturing base, the standard of cleanup and reuse, entirely different.
You try to be really realistic.
Absolutely. You've got to be.
What were the, any words being realistic? What were the words that embodied your governorship?
I think there's a one, I think you need to know that people will accept change if you articulate it in a way and make it relevant to them. Secondly, one of the notions that government can be a partner. People don't like to say that, but can also oppress, depending on the nature of the policy. We try to relieve the burdens of government and try to figure out ways to partner, because government can't create the jobs. You have to provide the incentives, and sometimes it's not just money incentives. Just reduce the taxes, we reformed workers' compensation, relieve some of the regulatory burden, and it's a lot easier for a CEO of a company to take a look at your environment and say, things have changed. The environmental regulations are still friendly to the environment, but they're also friendly to business. They cut the capital stock and franchise tax. Oh, the workers' comp premiums are down. And you got a good workforce. I'll invest in Pennsylvania. We didn't win them all, but we won a lot more than we did before I got there.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum, where we interview the CEOs who've reinvented the fabric of America. We're here with Governor Tom Ridge. So now I want to ask you, what was it like when you see 9/11 happening?
Well, like the rest of most Americans, it was a chilling event. I was at home in Erie, Pennsylvania, visiting my mother in the hospital. I pulled in the driveway after the visit and was told that a commercial airliner had struck the first tower, then struck the next tower. I went in, called my emergency management team, put them in operation immediately. I'm watching the television. Jim Mikulski from NBC says, "I've heard an explosion on the other side of the Pentagon." We know what happened there, and then I learned on the phone that there was a plane that looked like it was on its way back toward D.C. That ended up in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. I was there 5 or 6 hours later. So my emotions that day ran like Americans. There was anxiety, there was fear, there was anger, there was a sense of somebody's got to pay for this, there has to be retribution, but there was also that sense of how did it happen, why did it happen, and will it happen again?
You get a call from President Bush. What's it like?
Well, I'd known the president for quite some time. Matter of fact, I remember walking on the beach at Kennebunkport with him, and he said, "I'm thinking running for president." I said, "Well, I think you ought to do that." Then he was George. Now he's Mr. President, always will be Mr. President. But he was looking for someone, I think, that he could trust, someone who hopefully, I think he believed, had good relationships on both sides of the aisle with Congress and could help him take a federal issue. I mean, you got a lot of federal resources, but build a national infrastructure so that we, not just the federal government was involved in making America safe, but you had to connect with the states. You had to connect with the locals. You had to connect with the private sector. And ultimately, he gave me the opportunity to do that, and for which I'm very proud to this day.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum. We'll come back. We're with Governor Tom Ridge. When we come back, we're going to hear about the strategy on Homeland Security.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Good day, America. Are you tired of your butt cheeks being frozen? Tired of cold hands or cold feet? I'm tired of the cold. Well, there's a new kid on the block. It's Fortress Clothing. Fortress will keep you warm. Fortress does what no other clothing company has ever done. We keep you warm in the cold, even when wet. You heard that right, even when wet. No BS, no gimmicks. Work, play, sweat in the cold, and stay warm. So quit your complaining and go to FortressClothing.com. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code AMERICA and get 20% off any item. Mittens, jackets, pants, balaclavas, or hot socks. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code AMERICA. You're going to love being warm all winter long. FortressClothing.com.
Have you ever wanted a shortcut to getting the underground secrets to making money online and seriously grow your business? Whether it's a new business, a part-time income, or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of this Amazon best-selling book on .com success for free. Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite. Go to secretsignite.com. That's secretsignite.com. Get your free copy now. Go to secretsignite.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum. We're here today with Governor Tom Ridge. So talk about your strategy and what you're happiest or proudest of that you accomplished on Homeland Security.
I mean, I alluded to it just briefly before. You know, you couldn't secure the country from inside the Beltway, inside the District of Columbia. And when we built out the department, it was in my mind's eye, that you had to build tangible, sustainable relationships, not just with the law enforcement community and the political people and the states and locals. You had to reach out and start building those relationships with the private sector. It owns 85-90% of the infrastructure. And so you had to work with the locals on training, on exercises. Some of our money was very well spent locally. Admittedly, the first couple of years, some of it wasn't spent as well or as wisely as it could have been. But I'm most proud of the fact that today, in a post-9/11 world, there is a single agency in the federal government that is connected on a day-to-day basis with the people and the institutions that make our system of government and our economy work. And that lends itself to not only being prepared for a physical attack, but also a cyber attack. Because as we've seen, as things have progressed since 9/11, the profile of the terrorists have changed. The geography has changed. There are more terrorist organizations. They expand. Their reach is much broader. They've taken advantage of the Internet. Their tactics are different. So the risk remains. But the greatest risk, I think, to your audience in the CEO world is the risk of a cyber attack, even though they have to be worried about a physical attack on that critical infrastructure.
So what is the true state of Homeland Security from a CEO's perspective today? What should they be doing?
Well, first of all, mostly for publicly traded companies, but even if you're not, there are these information sharing analysis centers dividing on the individual economic sectors. You got to see if you're company is hooked up to these because they're a source of information sharing between the federal government and you can share some information with the federal government relative to physical security challenges and more recently cybersecurity challenges. And I think retaining that relationship on those ISACs, there's a good idea to have some kind of connection with your local and particularly in the big cities, with the FBI. They're the point of the tip of the spear for counterterrorism, and just be mindful every day. And again, this is speaking specifically to the CEO, the chances of a physical attack on your enterprise are far less, much less, I mean, almost infinitesimal compared to a potential cyber attack on your infrastructure. And that's not just from terrorists. That's from hackers or countries engaged in not only national espionage, but economic espionage. It's critically that they accept that as a permanent risk to their operations.
And what is Ridge Global doing about that?
Well, Ridge Global has partnered. First of all, we're a company that deals with risk and readiness and resiliency. And one of the initiatives we've undertaken is to work with the National Association of Corporate Directors and Carnegie Mellon University, preeminent when it comes to cyber issues and cybersecurity. And we've designed a 20-hour certification program, and I encourage the CEOs to have their boards of directors, these publicly traded companies, take a look at it. It's not intimidating. We're not trying to turn you into a technologist. But the fiduciary duty to support your CEO and your CISO and management means that we think there's a lot of knowledge to be gained to improve the relationship, the conversations, the dialogue between your board of directors and your management team around the very complex issues of cybersecurity. Again, you can't get any better than Carnegie Mellon, and certainly the National Association of Corporate Directors is one that's embraced it. And you'll get those who complete the program, they get a certificate that says, we've listened, we've learned, we've heeded, and we think it'll enhance their ability, give them additional knowledge, and make those conversations between the board of directors and the management, the CISO, the chief technology officer, crisper, more knowledgeable, more relevant, and therefore enhance the effectiveness of their oversight and hopefully improve this digital security of the enterprise.
How about challenges like on our national power grid? What do people have to be thinking about now?
Well, I think the energy industry itself, the utility industries, used privilege to serve on the board of Exelon many years ago. And, they're working really, really hard to make sure that their digital infrastructure, and it's not just digital infrastructure. People think of it as a kind of a bunch of O's and ones. It's about operations. It's about HR. It's about communication. It's about merger and acquisitions. They've invested a lot in their infrastructure as well. I think most utility companies have. I think their next challenge, and they're moving toward that challenge, is how do we as individual companies work together to secure that broader national grid? And again, making progress, incremental progress, but they're moving in the right direction.
I want to shift gears. You're working on something that I know, Tom, is really important to you, yeah, which is on National Organization of Disabilities. Yeah. Talk about what you're doing.
I want to thank you for just raising that. It might be a little bit one-off in here, but to the CEOs in this very competitive world, over the past 10 years, I've been privileged, in addition to starting my own businesses, but to be the chairman of the board of directors of the National Organization on Disability. And we see this world from the demand side, not the supply side, i.e. the demand of companies from the CEO down to get qualified people with great abilities. And what you'll find is that when we work with the large companies, for example, Starbucks, Walmart, many others, we've been in the insurance space, we've been in the service space, but they've discovered that it's not a matter of social responsibility or just meeting some kind of diversity requirements. These are good, solid, reliable, dependable, effective employees. And so what NOD does is we work with a company on down, help build that profile, help identify those in the community that can supplement your workforce. And we've got plenty of testimonials from companies that have hired people with disabilities, not as a means of charity, but as a good business decision. And I would encourage the CEOs that are listening, check out the National Organization on Disability. I know you had somebody here on your program, Doug Conant, former CEO of Canada.
Absolutely.
He's on our board. I mean, he can speak to it with an enthusiasm and a rigor like any other CEO that I've ever met. But he'll be the first one to tell you, hiring a person with disability, not because they're disabled, because they have an ability, you fit them in there and you're going to feel very good about the hiring, because they'll end up being a very dependable and excellent employee.
Let's talk about what's the future for Tom Ridge.
Well, I want to continue to work with my friends at NOD. I've learned a lot over the past 10 years. One, because I've had been privileged to serve on a couple of publicly traded boards. I've learned a lot about, even more about the business community, about all the risk associated with being a CEO. I've got a very small business compared to what your audience has to deal with. But even then, it's always a matter of scale. There's certain principles that you can apply. There's expectations of employees. There's goal setting. And so what I've found most interesting since I left government almost 10 years ago is for the first time in my life being more involved in what these men and women do on a day-to-day basis, even a little my shop. It's very enriching. It's very rewarding. It's challenging as all hell, and I enjoy every minute of it.
I could imagine so. Well, Tom, a real pleasure having you on the CEO Forum.
Great pleasure to be with you and your audience. Thank you very much for the invitation.
We've been speaking with Governor Tom Ridge. We've spoken about cybersecurity. Every CEO, you need to be aware, because things will happen that you will not be happy with, but that is our digital future. And also, focus on disabilities and hiring people, not out of being nice, but because these people will make incredible employees with new special skills to bring. Robert Reese signing off.
Had it been the sweet Paris air permeating the night? The intoxicating way her beauty had overtaken him? Whatever the case back then, Jordan Dunleavy is still in love with the memory of Lauren, the woman he'd lost so many years before. In Bookstore on the Seine, the journey of a conspiracy analyst, author C.L. Hendman, ties conspiracy theories, mystery, irony, and romance into this stimulating novel that masterfully interweaves the past with the present. Available on Amazon and Kindle and at bookstoreontheseine.com. That's S-E-I-N-E.com. bookstoreontheseine.com.
Hello again. My name is Gary Clark. I'm the actor who's turning 80 in August who played the part of Steve on the 1960s Western TV series, The Virginian. Now, those of you who've suffered the side effects of prescribed medicines know what I'm talking about. And those of you who have watched the devastating effects that worrying about you has had on your loved ones. And what I shared a few months ago is only part of the story. I neglected to mention how One World Whey protein powder has affected my life. Now, I realize this is not dinner table conversation, but here goes anyway. One World Whey solved my irregularity. I've been plagued with constipation for years, and I thought it would be that way for the rest of my life. 3 weeks on One World Whey set me on a new path. That was 5 months ago, and I haven't been irregular since. Will it work the same way for you? I don't know. It worked for me.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
All right, guys. We're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the runway? You know, the fun.
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for four seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Hi, and welcome to the Transformational CEO Forum. I'm Robert Rees, and with my co-host, Ganesh Iyer, we're speaking with the CEOs who have reinvented themselves and their businesses to succeed in the digital age. Our guest today is Dr. Steve Corwin from New York Presbyterian.
Thanks, Robert. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, good to meet you.
So let's start off with your personal journey. What did you learn growing up that shaped the way you view leadership?
I think the most important experience I had, believe it or not, was as a 12 or 13-year-old, I started to caddy at a local golf club. You learn a lot about people. You learn a lot about being in a subservient position. You're caddying with other people from various backgrounds, races, ethnicities, religions. It was eye-opening. And I think the thing it taught me most is when you're in a position where you are subservient to somebody, you expect to be treated a certain way and with a certain amount of respect. And it carried over throughout my adult life, and it's carried over into my being the CEO. It was a really eye-opening experience, let's put it that way.
Very interesting, Dr. Corwin. And let me add my welcome. You are in healthcare business, which really touches people. I want to hear your perspective as you look around the digital technology, digital transformation. Could you share with us at a personal level, what was that aha moment which made you think, okay, I need to embark on a journey of personal transformation and embracing technology?
I love interacting with people. One of the great pleasures in my life was the ability to, as a physician, interact with patients, interact with people. And as I said to you, this experience with caddying was extremely important for me in terms of how do you relate to other people? How do you relate to who they are, where they came from, what their problems might be? I think that, you know, as I've developed as a physician, I felt that a leadership role was really important for me because I wanted to translate those values into how do we care for people. What became apparent to me as we started to get more and more into digital was that you could use digital to transform that experience. And one of the most interesting insights we've had is that we do a program on telepsychiatry. So you can come to an emergency room somewhere in the region. And it's very difficult oftentimes to get a psychiatrist. I'm blessed being part of New York Presbyterian with having a lot of psychiatrists from Columbia and Cornell on staff. They can come to our emergency room, see patients who have psychiatric need. But as you go into the region, that's often not the case. We made the decision that we were going to do telepsychiatry, that we would take our psychiatrists from Columbia and Weill Cornell and allow them to see patients in a far-off regional hospital. I was very concerned about that. Think about being a psychiatric patient, and you're paranoid, you're worried about things. How will you respond to that digital experience of seeing a psychiatrist virtually? And the answer is, patients really appreciate it. You could dramatically reduce the time it took to see a psychiatrist, and the patients really responded to that. We're not talking about patients who are mildly depressed. We're talking about seriously psychiatrically disturbed patients. And it sort of opened up that window to me that digital really is the future of medicine. Think about another example. Your mother, your father, your sister has heart failure. You have to take off from work to be able to take that relative to the doctor. It takes 30 minutes to get that patient dressed. You have to drive into the city. You have to pay for parking. You have to make sure there's a wheelchair to be able to wheel your relative up from the parking lot to the doctor's office. It takes 10 minutes to get your relative undressed in the doctor's office for a 10-minute visit. Imagine if you could do that at home, and we're doing that.
Interesting.
And you can take care of a heart failure patient. All the technology exists, and I can say, Mrs. Jones, what's your weight like today? Let me listen to your heart and lungs. Let me see your legs. Over in 5 minutes. Think about the productivity advantage that has. Amazing.
Very.
So digital is a transformation, in my opinion.
Yeah. And, you know, your business model is probably unique because you literally have two sets of customers, doctors and patients. And as a CEO, could you kind of let us into you as a person and share with us what values, how you bring about change in the organization, how do you transform the hospital by you becoming a role model as a CEO? Could you kind of give a personal glimpse into it?
Let me take a little bit of exception to your description. I think there is only one customer.
Okay.
And that is the patient.
Right.
And that's the galvanizing principle. I'm fortunate in healthcare that we're not making widgets. We're taking care of people. And if you say, look, the galvanizing principle for us is, what do we need to do to take great care of a patient? Everybody signs on to that. Doctors, nurses, food service workers. And that's the real that's the really important thing that we stress. It's about the patient. If we take great care of the patient, then derivative from that, nurses are going to be treated well, physicians are going to be treated well, but that's got to be the galvanizing principle. And oftentimes when we get into conflict, should we do this or should we do that, the principle you always go back to is, what's the right thing to do for the patient? I mentioned before this issue around having that ethos around feeling that interpersonal connection is important. And I found more and more as a CEO that it really is about personally connecting as the leader to the people that you're leading. Strategy is important, but that personal connection, that people will run through walls for the organization because they believe in what the organization is doing, I think is indispensable.
Could you give an example of how someone would run through walls?
I'll give you a perfect example of that. We have a very advanced heart failure and heart transplant program. Antecedent to getting a heart transplant, many patients have mechanical heart devices put in. We had an occurrence, this is a couple of years ago now, where a patient was driving up to upstate New York, had the mechanical device in place, and had to get pulled over to the side of the road because the mechanical device was malfunctioning. Now, a malfunctioning mechanical device like that can result in death. Right. There is the ability for a period of time, an hour or so, where you can manually affect that pump. They called to, this is over a weekend, they're in upstate New York, they called to the program director. Two of the nurses drove out an hour and a half outside of the city, they weren't on duty, to take care of that patient, take care of the malfunction, bring the patient back. Well, that, to me, is just extraordinary.
Outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. Now, the field of healthcare is undergoing tremendous transformation.
Sure.
Computational biology, computational chemistry, robotics. I mean, you can go on and on and on as to how technology is getting into the sphere of healthcare. People are predicting that the life can be extended to 200 years. How do you keep yourself personally updated with these changes, these transformation, startups, new areas? What do you do?
Well, first, I'm not sure I want to live for 200 years. I take 100.
Okay.
But you're right. I think that there are opportunities to extend life. I think there are a few things. First, you cannot know it all. You have to surround yourself. You have to be confident enough as the leader to say, this is the direction we're going in. I've got to surround myself with people who are really expert in various areas and learn enough to say, this makes sense or this doesn't make sense. I think that especially with things like computational biology, big data, precision medicine, how does robotics advance? You have to rely on the most expert physicians, the most expert information technology people, and then probe them. But ultimately, you have to rely on advice. I want to move in this direction. Show me how to do that. And sometimes you have to take the leap of faith of, I trust this person. I've worked with this person. This person thinks this field is going in this direction. We're going to place a bet on that. I'll give you a perfect example of that.
But we're going to hear that example after the break. We're with Dr. Steve Corwin. When we come back, we'll hear that example. We'll also hear of how he transferred from being a physician to a CEO. Back in a few.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
We're all looking for safe, effective, and all-natural remedies for ourselves and our family. The solution is Simplex. Simplex oils provide natural anti-inflammatory and pain relief, antioxidant and nerve protection, and is an amazing topical acne removal and skincare supplement. Natural healing at a very affordable price. Find out more about our non-psychoactive CBD oil products. Go to SimplexSpecials.com. That's SimplexSpecials.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
For P150, P150GA, P150NY, P150OK, P150TN, C250A, C250E, C250Q. Not available in all states. If New York or Colorado, call for a similar offer.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $100, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, 1-800-656-4686. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away, so you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. There are no networks, so you can choose any dentist you'd like. Call now for a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-656-4686. That's 1-800-656-4686. 4686. 1-800-656-4686.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
The following statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Something shocking just happened in a Coast Guard unit in San Diego. The old guys in the unit have turned the tables and are now destroying the young bucks in head-to-head fitness tests. How is this even possible? Turns out the old guys in this unit have been part of a special test group for a doctor-formulated Fountain of Youth drink called Patriot Power Greens. Patriot Power Greens has been so effective for many of the older soldiers that it's made their achy joints, stiff muscles, and lack of energy a thing of the past. Previously, this drink was only available to elite military units. But for a limited time, the creator of Patriot Power Greens has set aside a small number of free samples specifically for our conservative friends. All they ask is that you chip in a few bucks to cover shipping. To claim your free samples of Patriot Power Greens, go to greens75.com. That's greens75.com. greens75.com.
We're back on the Transformational CEO Forum with Dr. Steve Corwin. You are going to tell us a story about cardiac.
Many people know that we've developed the transcatheter aortic valve. So you can be a patient with severe aortic valve disease that leads to death, and some of these patients are not capable of having an open heart operation. We invested in this transcatheter approach with some of the physicians that felt passionately that this approach was going to pay off. That was a decade-long process, and you have to have conviction that this is the way the field is going to go. Now, I'm a cardiologist by training. I was dubious about, you know, would this procedure really work? You get people who have conviction. You decide that you're going to put the chips to the center of the table, and you take a chance on some of this. And this has been a game-changing technology now in the treatment of cardiac disease.
Interesting. Since you mentioned that you're a cardiologist, I would love to hear your story of journey from being a cardiologist to a successful CEO.
Well, I wouldn't recommend it to most people, but when I was went into practice in cardiology, the then chairman of medicine said to me, look, you kind of have to do something other than be a cardiologist, so why don't you become the director of the coronary care unit? And that led to being a director of multiple intensive care units. And I realized at that point in time there was a lot more to medicine than just taking care of patients. I had a great knowledge of clinical care, what was good care, what was bad care. I had no knowledge whatsoever of the business of medicine and how impactful it is in terms of how a hospital can run. So I had to teach myself accounting. I had to go to courses to teach myself. I didn't know how to read a balance sheet. I didn't know how to do simple accounting. I didn't know how to do a business plan. I didn't know the basics of project management. I didn't know the basis of, you know, how do you develop effective teams. All of those things I sort of had to learn on the fly. I wouldn't recommend it to people, but I found it an enlightening journey from being somebody taking care of an individual patient to somebody who had the knowledge to be able to take care of a large business. And it was very instructive. It gives you a tremendous appreciation for the responsibilities one has to manage an organization effectively, operationally, financially, as well as ultimately, how does that distill down to taking care of a patient?
Interesting. And, you know, I want you to touch a little bit about culture. You did mention that patient at the center of everything, which is very heartening to know. You have multiple hospitals. You do inorganic acquisitions, if I may. Can you touch a little bit about how do you ensure that there is consistent culture and that people get immersed in that culture? You know, your brand value is experienced by your patients and your doctors and your employees.
Well, first, you cannot over-communicate. Second, you have to be sincere about what you really believe. What are your values? Do people believe that those values you espouse are what you really are like? Third, I've learned this along the way. Our aspiration is to be the very best hospital and hospital system in the world. And oftentimes, you look at people who have succeeded in that realm, and you try to replicate who they are and what they are. Perfect example is the Mayo Clinic is a terrific place. Most people would say maybe the top place in the country. We can't replicate the Mayo Clinic at New York Presbyterian. We're not in Rochester, Minnesota. It took me a while to realize that what you have to do when you're in New York, as an example, is embrace what New York is. And so we have to embrace diversity of gender, ethnicity, race, religion, etc., and say, this is a New York way of approaching this business. And that foundation comes from, we're going to have a foundation of respect in our culture, respect from where everybody is coming from, and that's going to make us unique. And I think that, to me, that's the most important contribution that I could make to New York Presbyterian.
Dr. Corwin, digital is changing healthcare in almost every way you can imagine.
Yes.
If you look forward, say, over the next 5-10 years, what are the biggest changes you see how digital will change the field of healthcare?
I think it's dramatic. I think telemedicine will transform the field. It's got a potential.
And just define telemedicine for everyone.
Perhaps a better term would be digital health. So, second opinions digitally. Doing radiology readings digitally, doing pathology readings digitally. We talked about psychiatry consults digitally, chronic care visits digitally. We believe that that will dramatically impact both cost and productivity. And that's the way that people want to experience things. You have to remember, at least from my standpoint, what I tell our employees is, look, think about your experience with Amazon. Now think about what the patient experience is at our hospital. Huge gulf between those two experiences.
Right.
So I think that as digital moves into healthcare, the question is going to be, how do you replicate that experience in a healthcare-centric way? And I think that it will happen. And if you're not there, the wave is going to pass you by. So, yes, there will be bricks and mortar, but there has to be this digital revolution. A perfect example is the registration process in a hospital for surgery. We believe that that should be 90% of that should be done online at home so that when you come into the hospital, people know who you are, where you're going, you get up there, boom, done.
Interesting.
So I think that that will be transformational. Healthcare is lagged. But also you have to remember that, at least in my estimation, the digital revolution has been appropriately but extremely consumer-centric in terms of it's transformed the consumer experience. It has not yet transformed the healthcare experience, and I think that that will happen. At least the healthcare vertical, it hasn't happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're now into a rapid-fire question round. So Dr. Corwin, I'm going to throw out some words, and you tell me what comes to mind in a quick phrase or sentence.
Sure.
Virtual reality.
Game-changing.
Digital revolution.
Foundational, but not yet reached its peak.
Digital 2050.
Dominant.
Culture.
Essential.
Boy, you know these like the heart. You are set. Customer.
Patient.
Cognitive.
I think cognitive dissonance is something that every CEO needs to pay attention to.
You've about a minute left. Talk about that.
Well, I think that you get various inputs all the time. And there is the element that where when cognitive dissonance occurs, where you realize that there is a disconnect between what you perceived reality to be and what the reality actually is. And I think that that's what a CEO needs to pay attention to. One of my board members, a former CEO, a terrific person, said to me, Steve, your job as the CEO is to hear the bad news and find the bad news. Finding the bad news is at the essence, cognitive dissonance. Where is that bad news?
Any advice to aspiring CEOs?
Follow your heart, work hard, and make sure you understand what your business is.
Dr. Corwin, a pleasure having you.
Absolutely.
On the Transformational CEO Forum.
Thank you both. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.